I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and as always, I'm thrilled to be here with you. I am reporting to you today live from quarantine. This is day 17, I think. Maybe day 16. I'm not sure. Is this Monday Thursday or Sat Wednesday? I don't know. I've lost track of the days. Now it's come down to daylight or nighttime is pretty much how we're all functioning here in quarantine. But we are getting by. A couple things I wanted to talk about is let's be hopeful. I heard recently the statistics for New York City, which is the epicenter of coronavirus in America, that actually the deaths from the virus seem to have maybe plateaued. Now, that could certainly change at any moment as more people become infected because people don't listen. They don't stay in their houses. They're not doing the right things. They're going out. It's difficult. Even here in Jersey, where I am, there's groups of people still going out and getting together. We had a guy in Homedale. Very high-end family, apparently they got a lot of money, and they decided to have a let's-get-together, wish-you-were-here, Pink Floyd type of party. And they had 50, 60 people come to their house. And they figured, we're okay, we're all healthy. In the meantime, the police had to go, break it up, and arrest them. Because you're not supposed to be together. All those people, if one person had it, they're all going to have it. Now they come back and they deal with us. They deal with you. They meet you in the food store and say hi. Or they pass you somewhere else and cough and sneeze. And next thing you know, you have it. You bring it home to your elderly parents and family members. And people are getting sick and they could die. So I get it. I don't want to be trapped in the house either. But you really have to. We have to really hunker down, get through these couple of weeks. And hopefully the effects start to plateau. And then the curve goes down the other way. And then we start to move past this. Because I'm hoping that President Trump is correct, that by April 30th, we should be able to come out of quarantine and resume life. So some of the things we're doing here, we're doing puzzles. Right? I don't know if you were puzzle people, but we pulled out a bunch of puzzles. We got them on the dining room table, and as everybody goes by, you sit down for 10 minutes. You put a bunch of pieces of puzzle together. We're spending more time together as a group, as a family. We've been doing campfires in the yard. I know on my Twitter, I've pumped out a couple of things where me and the lovely Miss Kathy are sitting out by the campfire just saying hi to everybody. We are spending time working in the yard, doing projects. You know, I saw a funny thing on social media. It said, I feel really bad for the husbands who kept telling their wives for years, when I have time, I'll get to that project. Well, guess what? You got the time now. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I wanted to redesign the front lawn. You know, we had all these curves in the lawn, and I want to straighten it out. So I went out there, and I did a backbreaking day of labor, and it felt good to not just be inside. You know, the weather was beautiful outside. I straightened out the lawn, and then I took all that grass and dirt, and in the backyard of our house, I built a flower bed and used all that stuff in there. So I got to be out in nature. I got to feel good. It was kind of like working out. You can't go to the gym. So what are you supposed to do? So I was working out. I was feeling pretty good about it. It was a nice day. Miss Kathy, she went around and she washed all the windows in the house. You know, getting kind of a jump on the spring cleaning thing. And that's kind of how we're getting through it. We have my elderly father-in-law, Ted. He comes over every day at 5 o'clock. He lives in a retirement community. And he comes over every day at 5 o'clock. He has his couple of glasses of wine. We have dinner. We play a board game. We hang out and talk for a while. A little camaraderie. Everybody gets along. He's not stuck in his house by himself. We get to see him. And then he heads home by 7 o'clock because it's still light out and he can see his way home and it's all good. It turns out to be a routine. And routine is important. If you don't have routine, the days can certainly blend together where you'll start to lose track of things. And that's never good because eventually we have to come out of this. And at this point, we're only probably 3 or maybe 4 weeks from coming out of it. And that seems like a long time, but it's really not, because you can develop a habit. What do they say? Do something for 30 days and it becomes a habit. Well, if you've broken the habit of getting up early, getting ready for work and going off to work, and now you're sleeping in a little bit. Maybe you're sleeping in a lot. Maybe instead of going to bed at 10 or 11 at night, you're going to bed at 12 or 1 o'clock at night. Because, you know, you're watching TV, you're bored. Well, that becomes habit. Well, we're going to go back to the world. The world's going to come back, and we're going to have to go to work. We're going to have to get up early. We're going to have to work hard again. So that's something that you really want to consider, getting to some kind of a routine. I know for me, I was up at 5:30 every day. Get up, make my coffee, talk to the dog, you know, our rescue, Arthur. I talk to Arthur, I make breakfast for everybody, get my son Jack out to school. Well, school's been canceled, so he's doing everything online like everybody else, high school. And he's up early, and he works all day. I got to say, I'm very proud of the kid. He works all day long on his studies. And then he hangs out with his friends at night, virtually. You know, they're online, they're playing video games and talking and whatever else they do. But he's working very hard. My daughter Marisa, too, she's home from college. She was in college in New York City. Oh, boy. I had to go pick her up and get her out of there, it was strange to drive through the city and see it abandoned. You know, like even driving in, anybody who's ever driven into New York City knows on a work day, just about any time of the day, when you're going through the tunnels or over the bridges, it's crowded. There's thousands and thousands of cars everywhere trying to get in, trying to get out of the city. I went in to get her at 10 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, and there was nobody. It was me and three other cars going through the Holland Tunnel. And it was an easy run in. There was nobody in the streets. It was kind of eerie to ride around Manhattan and see a couple people with masks on, maybe somebody jogging. Saw a lot of cops around. But no people, no crowds, no throngs of people moving from one road to another and cars and horns and you know, the cabs and all that. It was a very strange thing. Last time I had experienced that was during 9/11 when I went up to work in Ground Zero. Well, I've told you about that before. I went up there and there was nobody there for blocks around Ground Zero. Everyone had been moved out. They removed everybody from the apartments, from the businesses, everything. And it was the same kind of eerie silence and quiet that I experienced picking up Marisa Joy. But we got her out of there. We got her out of the city, and it's been 16, 17 days, and she wasn't sick, thank God. We're very grateful for that. We seem to be okay here in quarantine. We really are trying to maintain the quarantine, and that's an important thing, is that we go out to the food store once every 10 days, maybe, I think we've gone. Maybe once a week, we'll compile our list, run out, get in, get our supplies, and get back out. We're not going out to the store every day or, you know, trying to make an excuse to get out. We just hunker down, and that's an important thing for all of us. So one of the things we've talked about is reset. You know, how do you make value out of this? How do you make value out of this situation when we have to all be home? So we're doing yard projects. We're doing house projects. We're playing board games together. We're talking. You know, how much TV can you watch? You know, we cut the cable this year, so we have all these streaming services so we can watch some TV shows. They're all the same. They're, you know, there's nothing good to watch. So I spend a lot of time listening to talk radio, which I love, especially here at AmericaOutloud.com. But it's been a good time. I'm not saying fun time. It's been a good time. Kathleen and I, we've been married 36 years now. And I got to tell you, we've actually gotten closer. We spent more time together. We're spending more time talking. We're walking for some exercise. We're walking together instead of going to the gym separately, working out. We're walking. Let's take a nice long walk and go for, you know, a couple, 2-3 miles. And we're just spending time talking together. We're cooking the meals together. Who does breakfast, who cleans up, who does lunch, who cleans up the dinner. And she's an excellent cook, so the food is usually excellent. She tries all these different recipes. But we're making the best out of it that way. And I think that's the important lesson, is that in this time of, you know, this season especially, you know, you got Easter coming up very quickly. And this time of Lent is a time of less, that you're supposed to reflect and think about things. Well, I don't think anybody expected this, where there would be nothing, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks. But it's kind of an emptying out. You empty out all of these other things and you see what's really important. What is the things you needed to think about, the things you wanted to think about, things you wanted to do. It's really become an interesting situation that I have to say, like I said, it's not fun, But it's not a bad thing either. We're actually learning. We're spending time together, and it's been good. We're resetting. I'm resetting because I know that I have been really running wild for quite a while. I've been running crazy. I've been running at thousands of miles an hour for the past 5 years. You know, my time after law enforcement was initially calm. I became a school security director. And it was calm. I was in the school every day. I was learning that business. I was applying my skills to keeping everyone safe in the schools, which was great. But since I left the schools and now I'm in the private sector, I got to tell you, it's a 1,000-mile-an-hour run because you're always looking to do better than you did the day before. Everybody is looking to get the right angle on things. You want to present yourself the best possible way. And it's, you don't realize how much it takes out of you. Now, we're around here, we always try and maintain some kind of status quo. You know, family is the most important thing to us. No matter what we're doing, on Sundays we go to church. Whether we go early, we go later in the day, we always go. It's a centering kind of a thing for us. So this has been a little difficult that we don't have that, but it's okay. We have each other. And that's what I'm saying about resetting. When this is all over, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to do things or at least see things in a little bit different of a way than I did before. You know, before, I got to say, my focus was becoming more and more laser-like. And as you become more and more laser-like focused, things go faster and faster. You just see a blur going by. This reset is really the first time in my adult life that I have had a chance to take a deep breath and sit back. And when I was talking about routine earlier, you know, initially for the first week or so, I was still getting up at 5:30 in the morning and walking around, getting on my computer, working remotely. I do a lot of writing, and so I could do that. But I guess the middle couple of weeks, we kind of slept in a little bit, and I sleep until 7, and we slept till 7:30. Then, believe it or not, we stayed in bed one day till 8:30 in the morning. And I couldn't believe it. By the time we got up, got showered, made breakfast, it was like half the day that we're normally used to. Half the day was gone. It's 10 o'clock already. But I got to tell you, that was comfortable for a couple of days. That actually helped us figure out what are we going to do in this quarantine. How are we going to function? So we made food lists. We found out where the food was. We got the proper protections. We made our adult beverage list, which was very important. And then there was a lot of rumors, you know, of course, that everything's shutting down. You can't get at this. You can't get that. And none of that has been true so far. So we're very lucky. But we did manage to find that routine. So recently, you know, Kathleen and I were talking about it, saying, okay, before we get way out of our routine, what is it that we can do to be more productive? You know, the first couple of weeks was kind of bouncing around, taking deep breaths, relaxing. And now we've gotten more focused, but a better kind of focus, I think. A slower kind of a focus, where before we were just running hard, running fast. And now I think I can go back into the real world once it starts up again with a better perspective on how I'm going to do this. So I think it's a good idea to think about your routine, what you're doing. Make the most of this time, because I'm thinking now we have 3 or 4 more weeks of this, and then the world's going to start back up. You know, this is a great opportunity. I told you a while I built a birdhouse. I'd never done that before. I built a birdhouse, and I enjoyed it. So I'm going to tell you to build the birdhouse. So enough about that. I just wanted to give you my reflections here of you know, in quarantine again. But I'm watching how other people outside of where you and me are reacting to this. I'm talking about our politician friends. Can you believe that Nancy and Chuck and Mr. Shifty Schiff are talking about actually having more hearings and investigating the president again with an eye on impeachment because of how he reacted to this this corona scare? Well, let me remind you of a couple things, Nancy. Number one, the World Health Organization in January came out and said, this is nothing to worry about. This is only in China. It's only affecting China. Everyone else should go about their business, right? There was no big concern on their part of what was happening with this virus. If you'll remember, the first person showed up in our country in Washington State had come from China. and was infected, and he was identified as being a person who was infected, and a cluster started there. And one of the first things that President Trump did was put the travel ban from China. And do you remember what he was called? Oh, xenophobe, hater. He's trying to isolate them. He's got hatred problems for the Chinese, and he's trying to do that. He just wants to, you know, cut people off, and this is his chance to control the borders that he really wants because he hates all these different people. That was their immediate response. And he stuck to his guns, so to speak, and he kept the travel ban in China in place, and it expanded since then. Well, shortly thereafter, there's video of Nancy Pelosi going around Chinatown in San Francisco. Come on out. Don't let the president's hatred bother you. Everybody's safe here in Chinatown. There's nothing to be, worried about. Same thing in New York. The mayor, de Blasio, is, I'm going to Chinatown to eat because I think it's safe. And the president's hatred has nothing to do with this down here. Well, it wasn't but a couple weeks later that we realized, you know, the virus was coming from China. And a lot of people who had been there are affected and brought it back to America. So they changed their tune. Then suddenly, well, he didn't close the borders fast enough. See, they can't have it all different ways, but unfortunately, I think sometimes they can, because the media goes right along with them. So before we end up, you know, in this particular segment, I just want to address something that I have noticed out there when it comes to, you know, the virus and calling it the Chinese virus, the Wuhan, whatever. You know, there have been some attacks on people of Chinese descent, as though it's their fault. You know, they're American citizens or they're visitors. It's not their fault. So seeing these ugly attacks on people, not uncommon. I remember when the Gulf War started, the big concern was, anyone of Muslim religion is going to be attacked and there's going to be all these crimes and they go after people. Well, that never really materialized. Was there some? Yes, of course there was. There are always some idiots that are going to do the wrong thing, but it's not widespread. I don't blame the Chinese people. I don't blame anyone who is Chinese or travels there. They didn't create this virus to hurt us. So if anybody out there is harboring feelings like that, look yourself in the mirror and straighten it out. When the next virus comes to you from someplace that you're familiar with, should people attack you because you're part of that nationality or whatever? Don't be ridiculous. The Chinese people are not responsible for this virus. And they've been victimized by it just as much as we have. So with that in mind, you know, let's think about our reset, how we're going to look at this going forward, what we can do to make our time at home productive, and be hopeful. The world is coming back. We're all going to be part of it. And I think we will come roaring out of this better than ever before. I'm Lieutenant Joe with Chasing Justice. We'll be back in a minute.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, because my father-in-law, Ted, wants me to say that more often so you know who I am. So, Ted, I know you're listening. He's a very avid listener of America Out Loud and especially Chasing Justice. So I want to make sure that he knows that I'm taking his advice because he's a good father-in-law. With me here in the neighborhood, we have a little special segment today. Today is the ladies in the neighborhood. I have the lovely Kathleen, my wife. Kathleen, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe.
It's always good to have you here. You're a very good voice of reason. And with us also is our daughter, Marisa Joy, who is the college young lady that I spoke about in segment one. And Marisa's here with us. Marisa, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
And you've been on the show before, and you have a wonderful point of view also that I appreciate. And I know the listeners will also. So in recent times, you know, when you sit around and you're caught up in this quarantine, conversation comes and goes. And, you know, I don't know about you, but in our house, the conversation, the quarantine comes up every day. Good things and bad things. What's going on with us? You know, do we go to the store today? Do we make sure Ted has stuff to eat? What about other people? You know, we have a family friend, who, a very good family friend, who got seriously injured. She's an older woman, seriously injured, and she's now on hospice, and she can't really have visitors. And that's very, very difficult to think about some people who are in a really bad way, and you can't go visit them. A very good friend of mine was on this program a couple weeks ago, Jeff Layton, the cop. Jeff was at work and fell down a set of stairs and busted his leg terribly that he had to have three surgeries. He was in the ICU and he couldn't have his family visit him. Now they moved him to a rehab to get better because of the surgeries, and nobody can visit him there. So all he can really do is look at his iPhone. So I'm going to find a way to for all of you to send messages to Jeff, because that'll make him feel better. But Kathleen brought up a good point. You know, in previous episodes here in the quarantine, we've talked about the things that we're doing. Even in segment one, I talked about we're doing puzzles, we're doing yard work. Not everybody is having it so easy. Now, I wouldn't say we're having it easy, but like I said, it's not bad. It's not fun, but it's not bad. But there are other people that are really suffering. And Kathleen, you wanted to talk about that. So why don't you go with that? Bring that up.
Yeah, well, the last time we talked, we were on the radio. We were saying how, you know, is a positive thing. A lot of positive is coming from this. And as soon as I said all that, as soon as the segment was over, I said, you know what? Not everybody's having such a positive experience, and I know that. Yes, with our family friend that's in the hospital, and they put her on hospice, and no one can go see her. I also have to worry about, I know that there's people out there who've had family members that died, and they can't have a funeral. So it's really, it can be very stressful for some people. Not yeah. everybody is coping well. And I think that they need a little bit of encouragement and to know that we are thinking of them. And how can we reach out to each other? You know, I did read Father Dave's was in the newspaper. And he said, let's change it from we have to call, we have to do this, we have to call mom today. We have to go call this person today. He said, and I thought it was great, how about we change the wording, because words mean things, to we get to call mom today. We get to call this person today.
It's an opportunity.
Yes, and change so that it can relieve some of the stress, I think, that, you know, we can make this more positive in some ways, or at least be there for each other. Right. I don't know that we're going to make a big difference in somebody who's dying in hospice in the hospital because we can't go.
Right.
But if we can console a family, we can share some pictures, we can do things like that, hopefully.
Well, I heard a really great thing. A young lady who used to live in this neighborhood, she's a friend of mine on social media, and she works in a nursing home. And she put a thing on there. She goes, hey, listen, there's a lot of people in nursing homes that can't have visitors. So I thought this young lady's idea was that because you can't visit people in the nursing homes, and sometimes they don't have anyone to visit them, which is even worse. But she had an idea. She goes, if you want to make some cards or write some things or put some package together for these elder people who are alone in there, drop them off at my house and I will make sure they get to a nursing home where they'll be used. Mm-hmm. I said, what a great idea. So if anybody wants to steal that idea, that's a wonderful idea. Go do that. Another thing I saw, somebody put out and said there was a nursing home that was willing to pay someone that could play guitar and sing to walk around the outside of the building from window to window and sing and play songs for the people inside who are all alone. So Kathleen, your point is very good. While we are getting through this, we're making the best of it. Not everyone is having it so easy. You know, you see a lot of posts on social media. If you're out of food, if you don't have anything, let me know and I'll bring it to you. Now, that's kind of like a forum post, but I think it's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a good feeling. Which brings up, you had said to me, I thought was really important. What is a positive, right? And what's a negative that this thing has brought up?
A blessing and a hardship.
A blessing and a hardship that this has brought up. So, Marisa Joy, you're here. You're home. You love being home as opposed to being in New York City, you know, where it's all cool and stuff. What do you see as a blessing and what is
a hardship? Maybe a hardship you didn't expect, because I think we all expected it.
Oh, I have one.
You do?
Yeah.
We all expected it to be hard to be home, right? We expected that, but wasn't it hardship you didn't expect to have?
So should I do hardship first?
Sure.
I think after living in New York now for 2 years, falling asleep at home is super hard for me because it's quiet. Our neighborhood is so quiet. I hear every little chirp and every bird. And, you know, in New York, it's all drowned out by the train that runs by my apartment and by all the people outside.
And the sirens are by a hospital.
The sirens and all the people just screaming for no reason. So that really lulls a girl to sleep. So the silence has been a hardship, falling asleep at night.
The people screaming for no reason.
Yeah, that really lulls me to sleep. And then I would say something good, though, is, and I've seen a lot of college students say, we've been pushing ourselves so hard because the second semester always seems a lot more stressful and a lot, for some reason, like a lot more work. And it's kind of forcing us all to take a back seat and take a second to just be home with our families. And sometimes we get so caught up in our life at college and our life in the city that we don't take time for ourselves or to relax. So it's kind of a nice thing that I get to be home with you all and
all this time
day and night,
day 19, hour 36.
No, I think you're right, and I talked about that in the first segment of the show today. I talked about using this reset as an important way to reevaluate the way we do things. Now we're going to go back to the world, the world's going to come back, and we're going to go roaring back into it. But if we can take away from that maybe a little bit of insight that, hey, remember how nice it was to not go 1,000 miles an hour. That might be a good thing.
And something that I saw that we're thinking of doing for my school specifically is now, instead of missing a class if you're sick, we are so familiar, all the professors are familiar with using Zoom and some kind of app so that you can keep up, that maybe after everything happens in the fall semester, if a student's sick but doesn't want to miss class, they can watch a recorded version. So that's kind of a nice little thing that is being implemented maybe next year that we've had to do because of all of this.
Right. And, you know, being home in the quarantine, I apologize, but somebody must be chopping wood somewhere by.
I think a lot of projects are going on in neighborhood. Yes. You can't walk up and down the street without seeing somebody building their deck. And I think that's what the neighbors are doing.
He's building a deck
or
he's knocking the house down. I don't know, one or the other. Now, Marisa, it's interesting that you brought that up because I don't want to make this a commercial, but it's interesting as this world changes, even in my company, like all of a sudden now we're doing a lot of webinars that we never did before.
Right.
Even though we did them, we never did as many as we're doing now. I'm going into video training, which is something we thought we would do a couple of years from now, but now we're actually looking at it to kick it off and get it going now. The company that I'm with now, IP Video Corporation, they have a system called the AV Fusion, it started out as a law enforcement recording tool for interview interrogation type of things, but it's actually now moved into the educational market. Schools all over the place, colleges are using it. It's the lecture capture portion, where basically the teacher is up there or the professor is given their presentation, and this piece of equipment perfectly syncs their voice with the video, and it plays back. You can bookmark things in the middle of it. You know, in the middle, the professor can say,
yeah,
hey, I talked about, you know, ecological changes at 1928. And you can mark that down and go back and find it later instantaneously. So it's AV Fusion, if anyone's interested in it, the IP Video Corporation. But I find that interesting because the world is changing to that.
Mm-hmm. Marisa, you were telling us today that a friend of yours actually has a company where he was doing, why don't you tell us about that? He was bringing food to people or what was that all about?
Right. So there's a company called Cater Cow, and what they're doing is you can donate on their website. They're a middleman, basically, for food delivery, and you can donate on their website, and they're going to different hospitals in New York City and using all the donated money to then put into their business and buy food for all of the people on the front line, all the hospital care workers.
That's outstanding. Oh, and now we got people that don't know how to turn their phones off. I think Jim Giordano's around here because that happens with Jim every day.
No, that's my remember to do something alarm, and I forgot to turn that off.
Yeah. See, well, young people keep their phones on vibrate at all times.
But alarms don't vibrate.
Well, first of all, we are young people because wait till you get here, you see how young we really are.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, that's interesting because it goes along with what I was talking about. I've been setting alarms constantly now because there's so many things to do, but you're not at work. You got to remember, just like you know,
when your phone rings and you realize, oh, you had a meeting, but you didn't see it because you were busy, you know, chopping wood in the backyard because you're home. So I find that to be an interesting part of this whole thing. So as a young person, Marisa, going to college, we see all these kids who went on spring break. And they knew how dangerous it was to go to spring break because there was, you could catch this virus and bring it home to everybody. But thousands and thousands of these kids went. What's your perspective of this as a young person with these, with people hanging out together still when they know they should be home?
Right. I even see in my friend groups on social media, people are all still getting together because they think none of us are infected, so we can hang out. But you never know if the person who delivered your food was infected or the person who you bought something from at CVS when you're on your way to see your friends. So no one's actually completely safe from it, although we might think we are, because young people tend to think that they're invincible. And so I've been really frustrated with all the people who didn't want to take the extra step and keep everyone safe because everyone had stuff that got canceled. My whole college year has been canceled and moved to online. We're all frustrated and we're all upset about it. But the people who are continuing to go on spring break or hang out with friends are causing this whole situation to last a lot longer.
Right.
And causes issues with people's health because more people are getting sick.
And that's the whole thing. That's the same thing with vaccinations. Like, everyone should get vaccinated that can, because then it's herd immunity. And you're not just protecting yourself, you're protecting the kid who can't get an immunization shot. Mm-hmm. So if the whole herd is immune, then it's not going to infect you. So when kids my age are kind of disregarding everything we're being told and going out and spring breaking, I think it's really rude. And it's just going to cause more health issues and more inconveniences at the end. They've already canceled our summer semester now. That's all going to be online. They're thinking of canceling fall. And I have to think that if we all stayed home like we were supposed to, that wouldn't have happened.
Right. Well, now, like I said, I saw recently that the curve is probably starting to come down because enough people are staying home. You know, and I got to say to all of you out there, if you're one of these groups of people having parties and stuff, you're wrong. You are making this last longer for all of us. By not following the rules. Yeah, who wants to stay home all the time? Besides me, I like being home with my family. But everybody else out there, you might want to, I got to go do something. I got to go see some people. You're not going to see anybody. Do a meeting. Listen to talk radio. But it is irresponsible to go and do it. I would love to go see my friends because I know my friends aren't sick.
We were supposed to go to a wedding.
Right.
And we made a decision not to go. And while we didn't feel that we were going to be hurt by going, we weren't that concerned
and
at the time.
You never know. If you're flying somewhere for spring break and you come in contact, you're a carrier with a flight attendant, and the flight attendant, his husband or his wife gets sick and dies. Like, that was because you chose to go out.
Mm-hmm. And did you see now, I think it's the Bronx Zoo in New York, they have a baby tiger that seems to be the first case of the tiger getting COVID-19.
I saw that.
From the caregiver, from the caretaker, the animal caretaker, from human to animal.
Mm-hmm.
So this virus is certainly not done by any means. Once it starts mutating and jumping back and forth.
Well, it already has, right?
But it's going to continue. Right. And if it goes airborne, where they're afraid of, that it can live in the air and you could just breathe it in because somebody breathed it in 6 blocks ago, they breathed it out and coughed, and you get it over here, it could be even worse. So when you were in school, and they were starting to shut everything down. What did that feel like? Did it seem real? Or what brought you to the realization, hey, I got to go? Besides your mother getting on the phone and saying, get in a car when your father shows up. Besides that.
Besides that? So at first, it was a lot more lax, obviously. Everyone was really cavalier about it. They said, there's a chance that my school won't even be moved to online at all. My school was one of the last schools in New York City to implement online learning because they were just slower to it, I guess. So all of the students had the feeling of, well, if our school doesn't care about it that much, they're not too nervous, we shouldn't be too nervous. And slowly they canceled, like, the cafeteria staff started coming in, 1 out of 6 people, to, you know, limit the exposure to all the students. And then the Starbucks shut down. And that's when we knew all hell was breaking loose.
No coffee. It's
no
over.
Coffee. And so then, you know, after staff started cutting down, they moved everything to, you know, in a few weeks we might do online. And then the next day I woke up and it said, all of your classes for the rest of the semester are going to be online. And that's when everyone just had to pack up and go home.
Yeah, this is a unique time. This is a unique time.
It
we've never seen
so
this
fast.
Before.
Yeah.
Right. And hopefully it's going to be over. You know, the president says maybe by May 1st it should be over, or at least we'll make a decision that it's safe for us to go back in the world and get back together, because you know you can't do this forever and ever. We can't just stay home. We have to function. Which reminds me of the people that are out there that are still having to function. You know, we talk about the cops and the firemen and the first aid, and God bless the doctors and nurses who are out there doing it. But the food workers, I really have to say, that's a great group of people to thank. Because you know what? You know what it's like to stand there and everybody comes in and goes, "Where's the toilet paper? Where's the toilet paper?" And they're fighting over toilet paper. These people are running that store, taking a chance, and they're working in a store. Okay, they're not making $1 million, but they're coming to work every day and they're making sure you have food and things you need for your family. Marisa?
Yeah, and even we all know customer service jobs, you have tons of people who are rude, tons of people who say, "Oh, I can't believe you guys are open. That's so crazy." And then the person working at the store says, "You're the reason we're open because people like you are still coming in." So yeah, God bless these teenage kids and just anyone who's working at food stores, anything like that, right? Because they're really keeping us working and keeping us going.
Right, and it is dangerous to them because, just like you said, they may be perfectly safe at home, at their own home. Now they come to work and there's some idiot that went to a party with 300 people the night before, and then they come in and they, "Hey, where's the tomatoes?" And it gets all over them, and now this kid gets it and brings it home.
And now this kid's whole family, I saw something, all essential workers, not only are they not protected, but their family members aren't protected.
Right, sure.
So that's such an important thing to think about. We can't just thank them. Like, if you guys were sending me off to work at Wawa every day, that's so scary for the whole house.
Right. I saw one nurse is living in the trailer in her yard. She's not even seeing her children because she's working in the ER. She doesn't want to bring it home, so she sleeps in the trailer. You know, they have one of those vacation trailers, right? And that's where she is. I mean,
that's real self-isolating.
But she's doing that, so her family doesn't get it.
And she, like all of these people who are really risking their lives and risking their health, are going out and taking all these extra steps and not seeing their families for us. Mm-hmm. The least we can do is stay home and cause less of an issue for them.
Right.
I think the people are getting the message. Do you think?
Yeah, stay home.
Yeah, I think people are getting the message. It's just limited groups of people that are behaving inappropriately by ignoring that stuff. And I don't know whether out of frustration they're going to get together or they don't care.
Do they feel entitled?
I don't know.
I deserve to go. I wanted to go on our vacation to go to that wedding. I really wanted to.
Right.
I didn't want to run and hide from this, but I knew that it wasn't what the president wanted. It was not safe. And I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. But why are people still doing it? I feel like they think they're entitled to have this good time. It's their spring break, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all we can say is if you're out there and this is a choice you have to make, make the choice for the good of everybody. Stay home. Like I said, do a puzzle. Spend time with your family. Have a campfire. Yes, Marisa?
If I find out that my fall semester of my junior year of college is canceled because any of you went out when you could have stayed home, I'll be back on the show to scold you.
She will scold you well. So this is Lieutenant Joe. We'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. That's my ode to Matthew McConaughey, which I like. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice here on Round 3. Ding, 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 ding. We have the lovely Marisa Joy here with us. We have the beautiful and smart Kathleen for Round 3. Now, one of the things that we were talking about that we should get back to is in this quarantine time, we're going to try and change the pace on this a little bit. We can't just always talk about, you know, the negatives and this is a pain and is what's a blessing and what is a
hardship?
A hardship. So we got Marisa Joyce. Kathleen, what about you? What's a blessing and a hardship you've been through in this?
What didn't I expect? Well, I didn't expect. I was a stay-at-home mom for years, so me staying home is not a big deal. I've done that forever. I don't think I expected all of this cooking and everything to take most of my day. I mean, I'm consumed with what am I going to cook? How am I going to cook it? How long is it going to take? Because it's not fast food anymore. It's not just going out to grab a bite to eat. And I'm consumed. It takes up most of my day to do that. So I think that's a hardship I didn't expect, even though I cooked all the time. And my blessing is getting to see my dad every day. He comes every day for 2 hours, and knowing how important that is for him, because he can't see anybody, he can't do anything, but at least we have him for 2 hours a day, and I'm glad that I can be there doing that with him.
The man's doodling. I've never seen him pick up a pen in his life, and he's drawing us pictures, so he needs to come over for dinner.
Yes, I went and stopped at his house, and I said, Ted, how you doing? He went, so I think he's a little bit bored. Now, it's interesting. He lives in a retirement community where everyone has their own home. They're all pretty ambulatory people, even though they're older, and there's a golf course there, and Ted is a big golfer. He loves to golf. He goes out sometimes twice in a day. He'll go in the morning, and then he'll come back. Now, it's not an 18-hole golf course. It's a smaller
six holes,
something like that. And the biggest one is 110 yards. But all of these people in that community enjoy that golf course. And Ted would go every day, if not twice a day, unless it was snowing or a hurricane or something. And he's out there, and I went with him a couple times. And there's nobody else on that course but me and him. We're separated by hundreds of yards between everybody. And they shut the golf course down.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you can't be out there because people shouldn't mill in together. Well, we have a cousin who's a microbiologist. She just got her doctorate. She's a genius. And she says, well, if you're not on top of each other, why would you close the golf course? Because they're hundreds of yards apart from each other. So if you are a manager of such a group, you may want to rethink your idea to shut down the old folks' golf course. Because you know what? It gives them something to do. It gets them outside. And they're really not dangerous on a golf course. If two of you are going, you're perfectly okay.
Right. Yes. Well, a blessing, a friend of ours, I asked the same question. Maybe you guys will all go home and ask your family these questions tonight. What's a blessing that you didn't expect and what's a hardship you didn't expect? And we talked about how feeling relaxed. This is a lot of people are feeling relaxed. And our friend Bill,
mm-hmm.
That's on
the
show.
Man of faith from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. He was talking to his son-in-law. His son-in-law is, I think, a bonds trader, just something in the financial community. And he's gone all the time, travels all the time, works 20-hour days, never gets to see his family. And when Bill was talking to him, the son-in-law said he's never felt so relaxed in his life. He's home with his family. He's still working from home,
mm-hmm.
but has changed the dynamic. It's really helping this young family be together for dinner every night. He's there with the kids. He's there to give them baths, play in the yard. Those are things.
It's a great reset.
Yeah.
It's a great reset if you take the opportunity to look at it that way. I see so many people are on social media and they come on and they're sick and tired of it and they can't take it anymore. They're staring at because they're spending all their time watching TV. Do other things. It's a great reset. Marisa Joy.
Off of that, I saw a post that I really liked, and it said, just because you're not good at something doesn't mean that it's not good for you. So some ideas of things to do during quarantine. One was like write a short story or draw a picture, because these are really creative outlets to kind of take your mind off of TV or bad news or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're not good at it doesn't mean it's not good for you.
I really thought
that was a really smart thing.
I heard somebody say one time that, oh, I'm not really good at singing. I don't want to sing. But singing can bring you so much. It's so much fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why do you have to be perfect at something to do it?
Yeah.
I like to sew. I'm not perfect at it for sure, but it gives me some sort of creativity. So I think that if you can get in touch with the creative part of yourself.
I think you're right. And it's funny when you talk about the sewing, and Kathy, when she was first learning, she made me a beautiful jacket with great pockets, but they didn't open.
No,
so
I wouldn't tell her though for
3 weeks. I just pretended to put my hands in the pockets, but they wouldn't really close. The other things that I've seen out there, you know,
blame it on your fat hands.
You go out.
Sorry,
I know she doesn't mean my hands.
Your man hands.
Thank
Sorry.
You. One of the things I've seen is seeing people come together. Just like today, I had to go out today. I had to go over to the bank and do some business at the bank. And I have never seen so many people walking around with their kids, with baby carriages, little kids on little bicycles. On every block, there's people that I haven't seen them there for years. Suddenly, they're everywhere. Now, everybody's maintaining the right distance. But I did see probably three or four women in their 30s on their bicycles on three different corners. And they were talking to each other from 25 feet away. You know, they were maintaining proper social distance. But here they were, probably for the first time ever, on bicycles. They're out during the day, and they're just conversing. And here goes a family of three or four walking by. And here's another family, and everyone's waving. Hi, how are you? We do cross the street to get away from each other, but we wave and go. It was really interesting. And then you see these birthday parties that they're doing for these kids, where the teachers are all getting in their cars and driving past the kid who's having a birthday in their class, mm-hmm. and they're beeping the horn and waving to them. That is really a great community way to keep connecting.
Our police department is doing that. If you call our police department in our town and tell them somebody's having a birthday, they will come by with the lights and sirens and do a little special thing for them.
That's really cool.
I saw a teacher went to McDonald's where a girl was working, and she was still working even though it's the whole pandemic. And the teacher asked for her at the drive-thru, and so she came out to take her order, and the teacher told her she's the valedictorian of the class and got it on film because it was such an important moment for this girl that she was kind of robbed of, mm-hmm. and the teacher still wanted to say it in person, and that was a very feel-good thing to see.
That's awesome. I saw something along those lines that I think is a great idea. If you're a school person out there, or your kids go to school and you're missing out on graduation or something like that, or their proms, you know, these kids waited for this, you don't have to cancel it. Why don't you run the senior prom in August before they all go off to college and run the junior prom in July, right? Give it a couple of months. Let them have their prom. If they can't walk for high school because the high school's closed down, do it in July. Right. Just have a special thing. Let all the kids come to the football field and graduate and get their diploma.
We can be creative.
You can be creative. Right? You have to be creative. It's how you solve problems, right? You go out there and do those kind of things. Seeing the Easter Bunny. You know, I told Kathleen this. I told your mom yesterday. Did you see the Easter Bunny on the front lawn? And, of course, she looked at me and wanted to know, was it daylight or night? Because we started adult beverages yet or not? She goes, what Easter Bunny? I said, oh, the 6-foot-tall Easter Bunny across the street. Now, there's an old movie about guys seeing a rabbit, but this is not that. Somebody showed up in an Easter Bunny costume, and all these little kids came out on their lawns, and they're all standing there, and Easter Bunny ran down throwing candy and stuff to all these kids, and they're all waving at the Easter Bunny, and there was a whole line of parents out there. It was a great thing for somebody to come up with and do. Now, who has a rabbit suit in their house? I don't know.
That's someone that we don't want around our children.
That's a whole other question, but I thought it was really interesting to watch that people are adapting to this. They're trying to figure ways around this.
I kind of feel like we're doing back to that front porch thing. You know, when I was a kid, people sat on their stoop, they called it, right? Or their front porch, and in the evening, and everybody would be around on their porches and watching people go by. And it really has a feeling of that to me. We're back to the front porch, kind of to see people, but not be too much. You know, you didn't have the TV on as much then, right? Now, so I kind of think that's going to be a positive thing, too, if we can reach out to people.
And that's what I saw, all these people walking around. I said, I wonder if people are going to like this, that maybe they actually like seeing each other as they go by. It looked festive, if I could come up with another word, without anybody being together causing a problem. Like, there wasn't 80 people all standing together having a party in the street. They were walking past it, but it seemed alive. You know, it's a beautiful sunny day today. People are out there. The little kids are bouncing balls as they're walking. But they're walking with their moms and dads. How many times do they often do that all together?
Right.
It seemed festive enough in the middle of this that maybe the reset might have a chance. That maybe they might say, hey, on Saturdays, let's take a walk. Now, I'm not foolish enough to not understand human nature. Just like after 9/11, oh, everybody was going to be the best of friends. And after time, we even forgot about 9/11 for the most part. We don't even think about it. But this probably will have some of that effect. But I'm hoping that the good things, the blessings in all of this, will remind people of a slower time that's actually better.
And that we can do it. That's the other really cool feature to this whole thing. The government shut down, everybody shut down, and we can somehow survive, right? We can take care of each other. We can come up with creative things to do. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
right?
I took Jack to a tennis wall the other day, my younger brother, so we could play tennis with each other, but against the wall because all the courts were closed. And I talked to Jack for more time, I think, than I think I ever talked to him in my whole life. I really got to know him. He's a great kid. And it was fun because there you go. I'm home from school and I got to spend actual time with my family. Not that it was dominated by, oh, we're all running out. We're all running around.
Right. And that's what usually happens. We all say, oh, it's going to be great. Everyone's going to get together. And everyone goes and does things. because you're home. This, we're actually home. We played, you know, the board game last night with Teddy. That was great. That was a lot of fun. Just doing things like that, sitting around that fire. How often, as much as we love fires around here, campfires, we just don't do it.
Right.
Well, we've already had two in the last week because the nights have been beautiful. We sat down, we had a campfire. It was really wonderful. So you're right. We can find ways to do this. And I'm trying to always, what was that show? With Bill Murray, when he, at the end, he's the Christmas guy, Scrooge, and he's talking about, maybe you'll be hungry for it, you'll really want it, maybe you'll remember it. Well, this might be that moment. I'm hoping that, and that's the whole theme of this particular episode, is hopefulness. This is all going to, it's going to go away eventually. Where we're going to be economically, I don't know. A lot of businesses are going to close. There's going to be pain for a lot of people there. You can't stay forever.
And they are having pain now. People are having pain. They're not getting paid, and it's going to be tough.
Right. And I want to make sure you know this out there in business land. For people that have a business, you don't understand maybe the finances. They're laying people off. If you have a company that has 500 or less employees, if you keep your people working, that doesn't mean have them come in and do the work because you keep, don't want them together. Keep giving them a paycheck. The government is going to have loans for you that they're going to forgive. It's going to be a grant if you maintain this for X amount of months till we get through this. So if you have a business and you laid everybody off, call them back and tell them, hey, I'm sending you paychecks. Mm-hmm. Because that money, you can get that from the government. It has to start flowing. All right. Now, they've been talking about it and talking about it, and everybody's waiting for this money. It has to get flowing, because I can imagine if I had, 60 electricians and I say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep paying everybody. But my bank account don't have 60 electricians worth of money for more than 2 weeks.
Right.
You know,
right.
How am I going to keep doing it? But what they're saying is, if you call people back to work, not means they have to go out in the field, just that you're going to pay them, you'll get that money from the government as a loan, and it'll be forgiven as a grant. Now, it's interesting. I spoke to a young man today who wasn't aware of that and said, well, that would solve a lot of people's problems. But, that on top of the stimulus checks we're all going to get, the only thing is, where are they getting all that money from? Well, that's a whole other conversation, because we really don't have the money. They're just printing it. Okay, mm-hmm. They're just printing this money up. I said, and the reality is that your grandchildren are going to owe about $80,000 each for our little bit of stimulus that we're going to do here. But that's a whole other story, and a story for another day. But right now, if you have that business, go look into this money. Go look into these loans. Pay your people, keep people on the payroll, keep their benefits going. You'll get the money back as a grant. You won't have to pay it back. And that's something all of us are investing in. We're investing in these companies. My son Joe, the lawyer of record, he also came out and said, hey, if you like your favorite place down the street and they're closed, go buy a gift card from them. Go online and see if you can buy a gift card to Mary's sock shop. And when she comes back, you have gift cards. Now you go down, you trade them in. It keeps Mary in money. You did the right thing to help your community. You would have done it anyway. So I really like that idea. I know I'm seeing people do the restaurant thing where they're having gift card day. You buy them, and when the world comes back and we can actually go in the same room with each other, you know, we could get back to that restaurant and you can use those gift cards. That would really be an awesome thing. Marisa Joy, what are your overall thoughts about this whole thing?
Closing remarks?
Well, not necessarily closing, because we have another minute or two, but you're, as a young person, did you ever imagine you would see a thing like this? Or is this something to you that is just something that happened? Because I never imagined I would see this, ever.
Right. It's so unprecedented. And it's crazy because it's not just the United States. It's pretty much the whole world is coming to a little bit of a standstill. Whether it's in Italy, where it's all of the people are like kind of being forced to come to this standstill. Or it's places like Australia that weren't as affected, but they're watching the rest of the world. And it's a really weird moment in time because usually people aren't all on the same page. I mean, everyone in the world is on the same page right now. And it's so interesting watching us all kind of contact each other in that way.
I thought the same thing. I said, this is not happening just to our town or our city or state or country. This is happening to every country on the planet. Everybody is sitting at home right now, no matter where they live, going, I wonder when this is going to be over. When does the world come back?
It's not like Hurricane Sandy, where it felt like it was happening to everyone, but it was really just pretty much New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole world. And you just picture people in Italy sitting on their couches being just as bored as we are.
Right. Only they got good Italian food to eat over
there. Yeah, exactly.
Holy moly.
I think when you're in a disaster like that, and we know Sandy, but when you see other disasters, you kind of are removed. You feel for those people, but nothing's changed in your day, right?
you kind of feel for them. Maybe you donate to them, maybe you send something, but it doesn't really affect you. It is an amazing thing how this is affecting everybody. When you mentioned that, I didn't even think about that.
You don't even think about
that. And for sure, I mean, I think I got both sides of it, because when I was at school, we were hearing all about what was happening in China. And I was just thinking, oh my God, I feel so bad for the people in China. Like, this is so scary for them. I wonder what it's like. And then a week and a half later, I'm sitting on my couch going, I know how some of the people in China feel. Obviously, I have it way better than a lot of people. It was just interesting because we watched it spread so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing. When you see how quickly it spreads, the world really is flat anymore. There is no island anymore that you can be isolated from. You know, we keep talking about, Kathy, you brought it up. I thought it was a great point, is that while this is difficult, it's not hard. We have internet, we have TV, we have electric, we have gas stoves, we have all the amenities. We're barbecuing out in the backyard, right? We just have to stay home. If the power went off, though,
mm-hmm.
now you're talking a struggle. Now you're talking it's 1805 and you better be able to churn butter, because then everything shuts down. The food chain shuts down, everything. So my closing thoughts here as we're going to go is I want to say, you know, remember your firemen, your police, your first aid, your nurses, your doctors. Thank them. When you see them, just a wave. Hey, thanks a lot. Something to let them know they're out there doing. Your garbage men who are still picking up the garbage.
The grocery clerks.
The grocery clerks. They don't get to be home. The guys trimming trees. The girls doing electrical work. Whatever people are doing out there that actually are still essential workers and doing it. Make sure you thank them, because, Marisa, you brought it up and said it right. Even though they're doing their job, they're keeping all of this working. They're keeping our society functioning until we could all come back and pull our own weight and do it. But in the meantime, they're doing the right thing.
Last thing I want to say, I saw this on Facebook. A friend of mine posted. They said, I hope when we come out of this, we won't only have a new respect for all the essential workers that we never considered essential workers, like grocery store clerks and stuff, but we can tip our waitresses and waiters a little extra for the next month, because all of these people are out of work.
Absolutely.
And how hard that is. So we have to remember to keep the generosity going after all of this.
That's great. I want to thank you for being here, ladies. You add a beautiful voice to everything. You're very, very smart, way smarter than me. And hey, everybody out there in Chasing Justice Land, have hope. That's what this show is. Have hope. It's all going to be better, and we can help those who are sick, those who are suffering, and we can bring our country back. So until we talk again, remember, be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.